Welcome to another episode of the End Zone Podcast. Once again, it is without Eric Jensen leading the show and me being the co-pilot. It's Trajan leading things here tonight. I'm giving you a second dose of just some quick little off-season reviews over three divisions that me and Eric thought were most intriguing to us. When we first thought of this idea last week, we did the AFC South with Mike Herndon of Broadway Sports Media. This week, we have the AFC North with Nick, and I'm so sorry. I suck pronouncing your last name so bad. Nick Faribault. I'm so sorry if I screwed up your name. I'm so sorry about that. Nick, he's a veteran. He's a friend of the podcast. He's come on here before. Doing a lot of miscellaneous things here on the podcast. Nick, how are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing well, Stray. Yeah. Fair ball. Tough one to always get people, man. Sorry, trust man. Me. People have messed it up my whole life. Teachers, new people. Actually, the PR person for the Steelers messed it up a few times. Trust me, man. I get asked all about it. It's not a common last name. It gets screwed up all the time.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And just to hear all the, you know, the examples of all those people screwing up your name, it sort of reminds or reverts back to me when growing up, I heard the name Trajan time and time again from teachers and everything. And it just, I won't say it pissed me off, but it sort of annoyed me. So I understand your pain.
Yeah, it gets annoying after a while by the time you hear it messed up for like the 20th billionth time. You're like,
sheesh, man.
Come on.
I got you on that, dude. Well, with all the last day, first day trouble and all that crap out the way, I wanted to get into the core, the content we want to get into here tonight. We're going to be looking over the AFC North. If you don't know, Nick Faribault, I hope I said that right. Nick Faribault. he covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for a variety of sites up there in Pittsburgh, for PGH, Pittsburgh Sports Now, and Pro Football Network. So he's well versed in his opinion about the Steelers. So Nick, I wanted to bring you on here. We talked about this before we came on here, just to talk about the AFC North. Just gloss over a little bit of the offseason moves for all four teams in AFC North and your opinion on it, since you're extremely well-versed in AFC North. So without further ado, I kind of want to start with – we'll start with the worst teams in the division, going from worst to best, varying on opinion. If you're listening to this, varying on opinion. But I want to start with the Bengals. Coming off an offseason where – the message was simple. Get Joe Burrow some help, man. That was the message. They didn't get a lot of, I guess you could say, help per se in free agency, but they went on the draft. They got Ja'Marr Chase, Burrow's college teammate at LSU. They drafted a tackle out of Clemson in the second round. I'm sure can't remember his name. That's my apologies on my bad. But I think, you know, with the message being get Joe Burrow some help, I think that message was probably more suited more for the offensive line, but the Bengals just didn't really, you know, 100% address that. So what are your thoughts on the Bengals offseason and their weird direction of getting Joe Burrow help, but not in the area where he needs it most to succeed going forward?
Yeah, that's the Bengals are an interesting team because last year they started to get pieces of their O-line future with Hopkins, who – course got injured and he's not gonna be ready for the 2021 season, so that's a bit of a bummer. You know, they have Jonah Williams, they have a few nice pieces there, but Ja'Marr Chase is obviously going to be great for them. Him and Burrow have a rapport together that, you know, is just, it's just going to be there. It was phenomenal when they had it at LSU. It's going to be good in the NFL. Exactly the type of quarterback Chase needs, and they also have T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and Auden Tate. It's a really good team. Offensively, when you kind of look at Mixon, don't really have the great tight end, but they don't really need it as long as that O-line can hold up. But I don't know if that O-line is going to hold up. Again, a lot of concerns at both guard spots. They signed Riley Reiff to try to hold down the other tackle spot, perhaps. But again, he's kind of average. How is he going to hold up? And the defense has a lot of holes on it still. I mean, corner is obviously a huge, huge issue. Chidobe Awuzie and Mike Hilton did get signed by them, but Awuzie is coming off a pretty bad year. Hilton's going to be a nice slot corner, but he's not going to play outside. And they got Eli Apple. But, again, I don't really think much of Eli Apple. So, you know, that's a concern for them. And also, I think for them, you know, the pass rush, the D-line also was a strength for them. But over the past few years, they've kind of bled talent there. Geno Atkins is obviously not – he's not what he – he's not going to be there anymore. I mean, Geno Atkins, for the first time, he might not be there. And, I mean, we're going to kind of see what happens with Geno Atkins, but that's going to be weird to see probably the Bengals without Geno Atkins. And then you kind of look at Dunlap getting traded last year, and then they let Carl Lawson go. They get Trey Hendrickson, but they overpay for Trey Hendrickson.
Sure did.
And then, you know, Ogunjobi comes in. He's been solid, but – you know, he's more upside, but they have him next to DJ Reader. So, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, with Geno Atkins gone now, who knows how that's going to be. And again, I'm not in love with the corners. Jesse Bates will help out there because he's a stud free safety.
Sure.
But you know, they still have question marks, and Burrow himself has question marks. Is he going to be healthy? Is the arm strength, you know, going to limit him? He looked good last year, but is he going to be the same player? And again, the O-line is still questionable. So, you know, they've made moves, but some of them are questionable. They've overpaid for some players, maybe didn't put the right emphasis, in my opinion, in some areas that they needed to. I mean, Penei Sewell was right there. I mean, you know, Chase could be the alpha receiver, and he would still be a good pick, but if Burrow gets killed this year, it's going to be a moot point. I mean, so, you know – I like that the Bengals are stocking up talent, but I do have significant questions about their ability to compete this year and really what they've done for the future of their franchise.
Yeah, and the moves that they made on the offensive side of ball sort of screams like the moves that you would make for a young quarterback that's sort of like in a make or break year. Surround a quarterback with as much talent as possible. And, you know, if he sucks, cool. But if he's good, you know, you can hope that he produces in comparison to the round or whatever position that you drafted him. And that's primarily for early round quarterbacks. But it could be, you know, for whichever team has a quarterback that has a lot of questions on their roster. So, you know, Burrow's only in his second year. So it just confuses me. I mean, you know, we saw what happened what happened to Burrow last season when he didn't have that offensive line. He got his knee completely busted up, and it was gruesome, hard to watch, actually. And he was lucky it was only just an ACL because from the way that injury looked, that was a pretty gruesome way to tear your ACL and get a serious knee injury, period. So I don't know. I mean, and it just screams to me, but it sort of just begs the question is what's the future, you know, like you said, with that organization. Zach Taylor, the head coach, he had questions about his continuity a couple times over the past couple years. So I want to invest in the Bengals because I'm a big believer in Joe Burrow. I love Ja'Marr Chase. I love T. Higgins, and I love Tyler Boyd, excuse me, as well. It's just a weird situation for the Bengals. So we'll see what happens. I'm just not all that high on the Bengals as I want to be, but we'll see what happens with them going down the line. I want to move on to the Baltimore Ravens here. They had one simple message this offseason: get Lamar Jackson some receivers. And it was the same message that people have been throwing at the Ravens organization ever since Lamar Jackson became, you know, the full-time starter in Baltimore. Get Lamar Jackson weapons. They got Marquise Brown, but that alone wasn't enough. And even then, he struggled. Mark Andrews, a tight end over the years. So Baltimore went out and got some decent options. They got Sammy Watkins. They still have Devin Duvernay, who they had last season. They brought on Rashad Bateman, who I really loved coming out of the draft. So what's your outlook on the Ravens, you know, right now? And what did you think, you know, of their additions at wide receiver? Do you think that's enough for Lamar Jackson, or do you think they still need some more
weapons? Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, that offense is going to be really good still. I mean, they lock up Gus Johnson for multiple years. They get rid of Mark Ingram, which, I mean, that sucks, but also allows J.K. Dobbins to now take a bigger role in the offense, which is probably what they wanted. So that backfield's going to be strong, obviously. And then Lamar is obviously going to be what he is as a threat on the ground. Easily the best rushing quarterback in the NFL. It's not even close. So you know Lamar is going to be dangerous in that area. But, yeah, I mean, they also reinforce the O-line a little bit. Obviously, losing Orlando Brown Jr. is going to be a blow to them. It is. Now, they obviously did add Alejandro Villanueva, but he didn't really have a good year last year, and he's switching sides to right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't really fit their philosophy. I'm a little worried about that right tackle spot for the Baltimore Ravens. They have some options behind Villanueva. But, again, it's not certain. I like the Zeitler move, bringing Kevin Zeitler, but mm-hmm. I'm very wary of that Villanueva move. But I think Lamar, as you said, getting some weapons now outside of just Mark Andrews and his running backs and obviously himself, Rashad Bateman's going to be really good. I think this is a guy that could be the wide receiver one, and then you have the speed of Sammy Watkins and Hollywood Brown, also Devin Duvernay from the slot. You have that speed option to really – make defenses respect that speed and open up lanes underneath in that middle of the field for Rashad Bateman. And this is kind of the key for Lamar Jackson because, you know, Lamar can sling the rock. He's got a really good arm. The issue with Lamar has always been, can he throw it accurately outside the numbers? And that's kind of been his big struggle. In the playoffs, when you kind of look at when Lamar struggles the most, teams are forcing him to throw to the boundary. Mm-hmm. I think with the speed that they got, I think it's going to allow Bateman and Watkins and all these other guys to get open in the middle field for a lot of higher percentage throws. I think Lamar's going to be able to do it seamlessly. So, you know, I really like that. Now, actually, I'm concerned a little bit about their defense this year, mainly, which is weird to say because it's the Baltimore Ravens, but there's not a lot of pass rush options on that team. I mean, they lost Judon. They lost Yannick Ngakoue. Mm-hmm. Now, they obviously have talent still there on the interior. Derek Wolfe is back. Still Calais Campbell. But, you know, Jalen Ferguson, Tyus Bowser, these aren't guys that are, you know, Bowser is good in coverage, but is he really going to be a great pass rusher? Ferguson's really been only a rotational guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't have a proven edge. I mean, and Odafe Owe as well kind of is touted as this guy that coming out of Penn State, you know, he's very athletic, but he's very raw.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, how's that pass rush going to hold up? Now, the secondary should be good. Another year for Patrick Queen should be good. Mm-hmm. Safeties might be a little shaky, but Chuck Clark and Deshaun Elliott played pretty well last year, so no concern there. But again, is that pass rush going to be fearsome enough, even with Brandon Williams and those guys on the interior back? Because the edge rushers are a little bit of a concern still. For me, I'm not completely sold on the Ravens as a pass rush unit, although they still have Wink Martindale. And obviously that is obviously a good thing to have your DC mm-hmm. back.
Yeah. You brought up a good point about their pass rushers. They lost Matt Judon in free agency, which I think was probably a given, you know, considering the money he was commanding even before he got to the market. There were some reports that he was commanding north and upwards of $14, $15 million a year. He came out and said, those were false, but he ended up getting that and more from the New England Patriots. So I know the message was get Lamar some weapons, but it is a little concerning when you look at the depth that they have at pass rush. You see, you brought up a good Tyus Bowser. He's, like you said, he's real good in coverage. Jalen Ferguson, I guess they're counting on a lot on Jalen Ferguson this year because coming out of college, I was a little bit intrigued by Jalen Ferguson, came out of Louisiana Tech. Just wasn't, I guess you could say, technically sound, I guess, but he still has some traits. He was long, too, coming out of the draft, wasn't he? 6'5", 270, so he was long coming out of the draft. So has some traits that NFL teams like. And I think that's one of the traits that Baltimore loves in their pass rushers. They love long guys and strong guys that can get out the point of attack in the run game. And also, you know, as a pass rusher. So you bring up a really good point about their pass rush situation. It doesn't look all that intriguing, I guess you could say, at all. So we'll see if they add an addition or add someone before camp, start of camp, after camp, we'll see. But I think, like you said, Owe, I think you said he was really raw. And when you have somebody that raw, he has to sit behind and maybe, you know, watch, maybe as a straight rotation guy. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with Owe this year, you know, considering what their pass rush situation is. Would you, you know, slide, maybe try to get Owe or Ferguson or whatever options you have at pass rush? Would you try to rotate those guys in and out, you know, as some sort of, you know, rotation, I guess you could say? Because I don't see, you know, what they could do to, you know, sort of prolongate Owe getting significant snaps so he can at least develop more, you know, in practice and whatever he needs to do off the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think they need a rotation there, and I think they could use another guy in that room. I mean, it would be such a Ravens move to go out and get Justin Houston or someone like that, you know, a vet that's proven to solidify that unit a little bit more. And if you got a Justin Houston at that point, you could maybe let Owe, you know, sit behind a veteran like Justin Houston. And I think that would do wonders for Odafe Owe to learn what Houston does, to learn just pick Justin Houston's brain while also getting productive snaps out of Houston. Because I don't think Houston's done yet. I think he's got gas in the tank. And I think he'll get a nice little deal here before the season. So I think the Ravens would be very wise to invest potentially in Justin Houston. I think he's a perfect scheme fit for them, fills a need. So I think, you know, in order to get that rotation going, they probably should bring in another guy. But, yeah, you have to rotate these guys. And you can't just, like, keep – they don't have a Judon or a – they don't have a Judon or an Ngakoue anymore. You know, the guy that has to be on the field now. They have a rotation of guys that need to be kind of kept fresh and at 100% in order to really be a threat.
Yeah, and you brought up Justin Houston. Houston is one of those strong little edge guys. It's not little by any means, but Houston's one of those strong, huge edge guys that can really dominate at the point of attack in the run game. And also he provides a lot of experience and skill as a pass rusher. So I think Houston would probably be the perfect signing for the Ravens, like schematic wise. Melvin Ingram is still out there, but I don't know if he really fits what they want out of their pass rusher. You would probably know more about that than me. There's some options still out there if they want to address that edge rusher position, which they need to, because they can't go into the season with this straight group of pass rushers and expect to find consistent success at that area of the defensive side of the ball. So, Ravens, get an edge rusher, please. Owe isn't ready for significant snaps. And although Ferguson has some nice trades, I don't think he's ready for significant snaps either. So Houston, Ingram out there, one of them should be a Raven if the Ravens are smart. So we'll move on from the Ravens. Nice discussion there. We'll move on to the Pittsburgh Steelers now. Your team. Actually, no, we're going to save the Steelers for last. That was a bad part of me. let's go to the Browns. The Browns are sort of giving off the vibe that they're ready to take the next step, right? Maybe from that fringe contender status to maybe pushing Kansas City and Buffalo in that upper echelon of AFC teams, along with Baltimore too. They went out and really hammered the defensive side of the ball. They signed a couple of DBs from the Rams who had really, really good seasons last year. I know they signed John Johnson, who was a nice safety. The Rams really relied on last year. I'm trying to pull up the roster so I can get the other one. Do you remember the name of the other one?
Troy Hill, yeah.
Troy Hill, yes, that's one. Troy Hill. He was another one that the Browns really invested a lot in free agency, which it was sort of a weird sort of combo sort of thing when I just got a duo of Rams secondary pieces, which not a bad at all considering how elite that Rams secondary was last year. They went out and got Jadeveon Clowney to line up opposite Myles Garrett, which I'm still a little bit skeptical of. Not of Garrett, not at all. I think Garrett is probably a top two pass rusher in this league. It's all about Clowney, though. He's injury prone, and even when he was on the field last year, he didn't really look all that good. So that's one thing I'm just kind of concerned / keeping my eye out on. They added Takaris McKinley, who let's just let's just be blunt here. It was a roller coaster for him last year, bouncing from team to team, failed physicals everywhere. It was a lot of additions on the defensive side of the ball. So Greg Newsome, that was their first round pick who they drafted, who was a conversation for quarterback one in the draft. They really, I think initial thoughts here, I think they hit on a lot of their defensive additions in the offseason, which I'm really excited to see how this Browns defense plays because they have talent everywhere. They added Grant Delpit last year, didn't they, for their safety position? Yeah, Grant Delpit. He was out hurt last year. So they have loads of talent on that defensive side of the ball. What's your outlook on this Browns defense right now? Because just looking through this defense, they added so much talent compared, you know, to last season on the defensive side of the ball.
Oh, yeah. On paper, it looks good because you have Myles Garrett as this all-encompassing game changer that just teams have to worry about. They just have to slide their protection schemes to him. And then you have, you know, I mean, listen, the interior of the line is a little kind of shaky. I mean, Malik Jackson's there now. They did draft Marvin Wilson and Tommy Togiai. Malik McDowell's there, Sheldon Day. Andrew Billings as well. But the question is kind of how is that consistency going to stand up with those guys? Kind of standing on, you know, guys that do they still have it or can they take that next step? So maybe that's a little bit of a concern area. I still don't love their linebackers, to be quite honest. I mean, I like JOK. I thought that pick was really good. I like what he brings, and I like Jacob Phillips. But outside of that, Anthony Walker, Mack Wilson, Malcolm Smith, Sione Taki-Taki. I mean, Tony Fields is a nice little piece, but again, you know, I'm not completely sold on those linebackers. And you know, they did add a good deal of – I think players in that secondary, John Johnson, Troy Hill, Denzel Ward, Greg Newsome, obviously. And then, you know, a few other guys, drafting Richard LeCount, Greedy Williams, hopefully coming back from injury as well. Denzel Ward's obviously still there. But, you know, that corner room still has a lot of questions to it, depth-wise, I think. So, you know, I think if there's a problematic area for this team, it's the depth in the secondary, specifically on that defensive side of the ball. Because, again, is Delpit going to be what he is? Sheldrick Redwine, Ronnie Harrison's going to be a nice piece there. But, again, you know, is Delpit going to be completely 100% or is he going to be the same after a torn Achilles? I mean, you don't know how – there are guys that come back from that and look just like they did or even better than before. And then there are guys that come back from that and they look completely different and they're done. I mean, you don't really know with the Achilles. It's gotten better over recent years, but it's not 100% just yet. So, I mean, I like the defense. I don't love it. I still think there's problematic areas on this defense, but I think it's going to be better than it was last year. You know, you're not going to just pick on Robert Jackson anymore. so, you know, that's kind of the thing. For them, they really tacked that area. And then offensively, I mean, they didn't really have to do much offensively. It's just so good. I mean, Chubb, Hunt, you know, OBJ's back. And that O-line is just so good. Shredder, Teller, Conklin, Antonio, Jedrick Wills. And then they add James Hudson as a nice developmental depth piece. You know, and to take over maybe after that Conklin contract is up or if they want to get out of that contract early. I really think that's a really shrewd move for them. And I think, you know, one of the most underrated moves of their offseason is adding Anthony Schwartz. I think, you know, I'm not even in love with what Anthony Schwartz brings to the table as a player, but they needed speed in this receiving corps. They had very little outside of Odell Beckham. You know, I mean, Donovan Peoples-Jones is more explosive, but Schwartz is going to be that speed guy that they really needed. Rashard Higgins hopefully can get on the field more. But again, Jarvis Landry is kind of in a weird spot here. And I mean, you kind of look at what he could bring to the table and what they want to do. They want to get more vertical because that's where Baker kind of works. And that's what OBJ is going to bring to the table and Schwartz. But it's kind of a weird fit for Jarvis Landry. So I'm kind of wondering how they're going to use him, if what's going to happen there. Jarvis Landry is an interesting piece in this offense. And obviously the biggest concern offensively is if Baker Mayfield can, you know, take a step up or continue his play. If he does, this team can go sky's the limit if Baker proves to just be, you know, just another guy, or he has his faults like he did at the beginning of last year in his second year, this team does not meet expectations. They probably don't win the division because there are teams like the Ravens and the Steelers and maybe the Bengals do surprise us. I don't know. There's talent in the division to where they can't have a margin for error. Mm-hmm. So if Baker Mayfield can't hold up his end of the bargain like he did at the end of last year, because he was great in the second half of last season in those playoffs, if he can't continue that play, this team's going to have a pretty tough time.
Yeah, and that's a good point you bring up on Baker, because me and Eric, you know, we're discussing Baker Mayfield. If you don't know, whoever's listening, we had a fantasy show on here. I think it was this past Sunday, and I think that was the show where we discussed Baker Mayfield and how me and Eric weren't all that really impressed with Baker Mayfield, you know, even last year. You said you're right, he did play well in the second half of the season last year, but in the first half of that season, he just didn't look all that good. And even though the Browns, you know, they won some games and were in somewhat of a good spot in terms of their development as a football team, Baker Mayfield just didn't look all that good in the first half of the season last season. Like you say, he did rebound. But if Baker Mayfield just can't find that consistency, then, like you said, the Browns aren't going to meet expectations and they're going to be in some trouble, considering how loaded the AFC North is and how loaded the AFC is, period. Let's not forget the Browns snuck in as a wild card team last year. You know, just because, you know, the division was still so good. Baltimore was good. Pittsburgh, you know, of course, was good. They snuck in as a wild card team, but, you know, if Baker Mayfield can't, you know, put his play up and bring it up to a step further, like where the team wants him to be, then with how loaded the AFC is, I'm not going to say the Browns are in trouble of missing the playoffs, because, you know, that maybe sounds ludicrous as it is. But that, and I keep saying the AFC is loaded, but it's loaded. It's loaded. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, you still have Indianapolis and Tennessee in the South, Kansas City in the West. The Chargers are expected to take a step up this year, you know, after Justin Herbert's really good rookie year. Miami could be in line for a playoff berth that they came so close last year. And Buffalo is still going to be good, and maybe New England takes a step up this year. That's more than seven teams I just said, you know, for the seven spots in the AFC playoff field. So it'll be up to Baker Mayfield and that Browns offense to really find some more consistency in the explosive element. So we'll see with the Browns. I'm actually really excited to see what the Browns do this year, especially with all the additions that they added on the defensive side of the ball. So it's up to them, man. I'm actually really excited to watch them, but it'll be all up to them. So I am expecting them to make the playoffs again and take that jump, because that second half of the season for Baker Mayfield was one that I think Baker Mayfield can be, because he did it in his rookie year. He was real good his rookie year, and he was real good in the second half of the season. So that's the Baker Mayfield I know he can be, but it's all up to him if he can bring that out and being more consistent with it. So enough about the Browns. I know I sound excited about them. I can't express my excitement about them, because the Browns being good in the NFL really warms my heart, and I love seeing the Browns being good. So we'll move on from the Browns for now. We'll move on to your Pittsburgh Steelers. You've been very vocal about, you know, the Steelers this year, and of course you are, or in this offseason, of course you have, you know, covered the team, obviously, but you have been very vocal about the shortcomings this team has, particularly at quarterback, offensive line, the defense, of course, which is might be sort of crazy to sound or crazy to say, considering how good they were on the defensive side of the ball last year, and maybe even some of the schematic philosophies of the coaching staff, the defensive coaching staff. So, what did you really think of the Steelers? Of the Steelers move this offseason, and are you more confident in the Steelers moving forward, you know, compared to before the offseason started?
Man, the offseason for them is one where you want to get excited, because Najee Harris is so good.
He is.
But, like, was he the right pick? Like, we know that he's going to be a game changer in some way. But they could have gotten a tackle. They could have drafted an O-line. And that's something that's going to sting. And if, especially since, you know, that O-line is just, it's a question mark. Now, you have two guards in Dotson and DeCastro, and they'll be good. And you hope the center and Kendrick Green is also going to be good. But, like, the tackles are complete question marks. Okorafor and Banner are just don't have much experience. Okorafor played a little bit last year, struggled down the stretch. Banner tore his ACL in week one, and he's the slotted in right tackle. I mean, there's just not a lot of experience there. It's complete question marks. And then you have a completely new scheme on top of that coming in with Matt Canada. Man, it's a lot to project with that O-line. You hope right now. The hope is that they're league average. Literally, that is the hope. I think that has to be the reasonable hope, because then you get decent protection for Big Ben. You can run the ball a little bit, and hopefully you can get everything working. But, I mean, they lost a lot on the defensive side of the football, right? I mean, Hilton leaves, and then they release Steve Nelson. I still don't get releasing Steve Nelson. That created a problem at corner that I think they didn't need to have. I mean, really, that they would have had three good corners in Nelson, Sutton, and Hayden, and would have been good. And then, you know, you would have James Pierre. It has a lot of buzz on him right now. Is the guy who could maybe step in there to replace Nelson along with Sutton. But again, a question mark. Guy had, I think, 30 snaps last year on defense, just not enough snaps to really bank on anything. And the team did bring Juju back. Now the question is, you know, was bringing Juju back worth perhaps sacrificing Nelson? Because essentially that's what they did. I mean, but they kept those receivers together, so the weapons are back, and their weapons. This is the team has two trump cards: the D line, because it's probably maybe the best or the second best, probably in my opinion, in the NFL. They bring the whole D line back, and except for Bud Dupree, but Alex Highsmith will be fine. He was really good last year, and then they also have their weapons because they bring back everyone. And then they added Najee and add Pat Freiermuth. And that's going to be the thing. This is the type, as you talked about with Joe Burrow, kind of the prove it year, right? With him, for Ben, this is the Ben final run year. And that's what they've done. They've surrounded Ben with so many weapons. They have, they're at least two deep at tight end. They're five deep at receiver. Najee Harris is here at running back. And Ben is essentially going to be tasked with being. It's up to Ben essentially, right? I mean, the O line is a concern, but Ben has the opportunity here to really take advantage of the weapons he has, and that's going to be the thing about it. But he has his shortcomings as well. His arthritic knees have sapped his ability to do anything out of structure, and that's the big thing about Ben. It's hard to imagine Big Ben without the ability, you know, just to break those tackles and make absurd plays out of structure, because you know how young Ben was. So I don't know. It's a tough team to predict, because the thing is, the Steelers have veteran presence. They have elite players, Minka Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt, Cam Hayward. You know, they have all those guys, David DeCastro. Like, they have great players. And then they have these shortcomings and these question marks at corner, at lineman. I mean, at outside linebacker depth. I mean, they have question marks kind of all over the field, and you're like, how do you predict this team? Because this team knows how to win. Tomlin knows how to win. Ben knows how to win. The vets on the defense know how to win. They just were in the playoffs and won the AFC North. They know how to win. And the thing is, this team is coming in much like the Browns were last year, when people were doubting them. Everyone's doubting the Steelers. So this team absolutely has a chip on his shoulder, because they just won the North and everyone's talking about them, you know, maybe being a top five pick or something like that. So, I mean, this team is a team that's hard to read right now. And you kind of, it's a team that has questions, and it's a team that you would hope fill some of those voids before the season with maybe some free agents, because it is just, there's just so many questions to kind of everyone around the team. And what this team is going to be. I mean, there's such a range of outcomes with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You don't really know what they could do. They could win the North. They could be last and be, you know, in prime position to be the quarterback. I mean, it could be either of them. The Steelers are that type of team this year. They're such a boom or bust team.
Yeah, and you're dead on about the Steelers being a boom or bust team, because all the things that you just, you know, talked about, the problems with the Steelers, those are valid concerns, especially the one with Ben at quarterback. It's hard to watch Ben Roethlisberger now. Like, honestly speaking, it's hard to watch him now. You know, he's this big statue of the pocket, can't really move. His arm isn't really all that what it used to be. And, you know, the offense, you know, it's relying on his smarts and that short passing game to really just be the staple of that offense. And, you know, with the addition of Najee Harris, maybe they'll have more of a threat in the run game, to where maybe, and I mean maybe, I don't know, you know, what your thought on this is, maybe that run game, I don't know what Ben's mobility is now to where he can run a little bit more play action, because his offense would really need some play action, I really think, because the whole drop back passing game was straight drop back, snap after snap after snap with that offense. I mean, adding some sort of play action game in there would really take a lot of the shackles and constraints off this offense, I believe, even without a good run game. So, with Najee Harris, you know, you hope that he can provide some sort of success in the run game. You know, you're a little skeptical of that, because, you know, that O-line is full of questions. It's not all that good. So they didn't really address it. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know what to, you know, really, you know. I think the one thing you can 100% staple on the Steelers is that they'll at least be competitive defensively, because that's Mike Tomlin's DNA, and that defense is full of veteran guys. They know the system. They know the message. They'll be competitive defensively, even if they take a step back from the year that they had last year. But, you know, it's all about the offense. It's all about the offense. Like you say, Juju's back. Yeah, wide receiver core is still good. It's just all about what Ben can do and what, you know, his current body, I guess you could say, how much that limits your offense.
I think exactly, because I think they have to be more explosive. I mean, they have to be. Like, you know, play action's a big part of that, mm-hmm. but they have to, you know, they have to get guys like Claypool and Deontay Johnson and even Juju down the field. I mean, they mm-hmm. have to. They turned Juju into a running back last year, and that's just not what Juju is. He's like, he's not fast, but he's a guy that consistently won down the football field prior to Ben being injured and then, you know, coming back. I mean, Ben has to let the offense open up. He has to. And he has to challenge himself, because, again, it is a whole new offense. It's a whole new O-line. There's so much change. And Ben essentially has told us, 17 years I've run pretty much the same offense, and now it's completely different. How do you teach an 18-year vet a whole new offense like Ben? But it's pretty much like the last-ditch effort, too, because Ben's probably their best option. I mean, are they going to go to Rudolph or Haskins this early? Like, I don't think you can do that. Like, so I think Ben's their best bet. And maybe Ben, we saw little glimpses last year. Ben still has some of that magic in him. That Colts game, after they were down 28-0, Ben lit the heck out of that Browns defense up too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not like he's not capable of lighting defenses up. We saw it. They just got to get Ben comfortable, and Ben has to push himself. So it's going to be something. I'll say that. I don't know. They can't keep throwing 2-yard passes. Ben has to open up this offense, take some hits, and you know, hopefully that O-line holds up to allow him to take those shots.
Yeah. I believe the Steelers' new offensive coordinator is Matt Canada, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, and I remember seeing, you know, bits of his offense when he was the offensive coordinator at Pittsburgh. Lots of motion, pre-snap motion, lots of tools to where you can get indicators for different coverages pre-snap. So I think that's going to be – I don't know that's you know, going to be exclusive to Ben in terms of advantages, you know, in, you know, when it comes to him, excuse me, playing as well in this offense, but that has to help someone, right? I mean, some sort of new wrinkles in this offense, you know, pre-snap motion is the wave, you know, with modern NFL offenses now, just to
make the life for quarterbacks easier so they can dissect different coverages pre-snap. You know, that's just one step, you know, that makes it easier for quarterbacks to identify those coverages pre-snap. So and you know, Ben's an 18-year vet. He's probably seen thousands of coverages. So I don't know how advantageous that is to him, but I mean, something, right? Something just to, you know, get this offense more explosive and get this offense to start performing and reflecting, you know, off the mirror and current position of what their skill position and their personnel looks like there. So I think it'll be really interesting to see how this offense performs, because they have a lot of talent, so much talent, you know, aside from the offensive line, and maybe even quarterback if you're not all that high on Ben. So I don't know. I want to see, and you know, that's probably me being so ambitious, because I want to see Najee Harris do well. So I love watching him play. But there's just so much talent on that offense that it's just so hard to not see them not being, you know, successful, and reflecting that the talent that they have. So we'll see with the Steelers. I'm really interested to see what the Steelers do this year. You know, maybe especially considering their quarterback situation, you know, aside from that, you brought up Rudolph, you brought up Haskins. Those two are not all that good. We know what Rudolph is. Maybe you still have some sort of hope in Haskins, you know, considering he was, you know, in that situation in Washington. So I don't know, weird situation in Pittsburgh. We'll see with the Steelers. They'll still be competitive. They'll still challenge for the AFC North, I think, because that defense is still really, really good. It's just all about that offense. So we shall see with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I want to move on from the offseason, sort of the offseason reviews that we have for all four AFC North teams. And I want to just get into some quick AFC North power rankings. And then we can get out of here. Excuse me. I'll just go first, and then we'll just let you round it off, Nick, because you're the guest of honor here tonight. At four, I think I'll go with the Bengals, of course. A lot of young talent, but still a lot of questions. At three, I think I'll go with the Steelers. And this is just based on, you know, a lot of the questions that they have along the offensive line and the offense in general. So that could obviously change if Ben starts playing well, really, really well, and starts putting up numbers and getting this offense chugging, unlike last year. So if Ben starts chugging, then the Steelers will undoubtedly challenge for the AFC North 100%. I'm at two. I'll have the Browns for right now. So it's just like the Steelers. Lots of questions at quarterback. You know, Baker Mayfield, can he take a step up? If he takes that step up, then I really believe the Browns have a real, real good shot to win the division. And then at number one, I'll have the Ravens. They're pretty much set on the offensive side of the ball. It's just the defensive side of the ball. You know, at their pass rusher and their maybe a little bit of their linebacker situation. But, you know, Mark Wheatendale, he's really, really good. Showcased a lot of his expertise on the defensive side of the ball ever since he came over to Baltimore. So until I see that Baltimore Ravens defense, you know, truly like take a dip or take a jump off a cliff, then I think that defense is going to be fine. Maybe not put up a lot of numbers in the pass rushing department, but I think they'll still be solid as a unit. Nick, your early spring / summer AFC North power rankings, and then we can get out of here.
Yeah, so four, I'll take the Cincinnati Bengals. Similar to you, again, tons of young talent. They'll push pretty much every team they face for the most part, as long as everyone stays healthy. But there's just questions, way too many questions on the defensive side of the football for me. And again, I'm still not sold on that offensive line. They have weapons around Joe Burrow, and that will make them competitive with a lot of teams. And I think they're a team with a puncher's chance and at upsetting some really good teams this year. They might, it would not surprise me if they stole one from, you know, the Browns or the Ravens, some team like that. And this is a division that plays teams like the Packers, if they have Rodgers, you know, something like that. I mean, they could pull off some upsets this year. So the Bengals are definitely a team that has talent, but again, too many questions for me, even though they're intriguing. Three, I'll agree with you here, the Steelers. Again, the Steelers are such a weird team. I don't know how to completely – it's tough to bet against Mike Tomlin. It just is. Mm-hmm. It's tough to bet against Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger. You know, Tomlin has never had a losing season. And it's tough for me to say he will now. I mean, there are signs he could. But then you look at what he did 2 years ago with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph and pretty much a battered complete offense with James Conner hurt, with Juju out and then Deontay out and in the lineup. That team still somehow went 8-8 and nearly made the playoffs. So I can't count out this Pittsburgh Steelers, and I never will. Because I think, and again, I won't count out Ben too, because I did last year at the end, and suddenly he did what he did against the Colts, and he made that Browns game somewhat of a game at the end, and that was all Ben. So I'm not Ben isn't what he used to be, but that doesn't mean Ben doesn't have a little bit of that Ben magic still in him. So I won't rule him out. I think they could still be threats in this division for sure, and I think it's realistic to see them winning it, but I'm not going to go out on a limb and say they're going to do that right now. And I'm also not going to say they're going to suck this year. You know, so I think the Steelers are in that middle pack. Two, I'll actually go with the Ravens. I think the Ravens here are two. Again, I have a real big problem with that pass rush. I mean, yes, they're going to have great coverage, and that's going to be something for them. That's going to hold them up. But again, Jimmy Smith is always in and out of the lineup. He's always hurt. He's really good when he's in there, but he's always hurt. And Marlon Humphrey, you know, is still very good. But those safeties are a little bit of a concern for me. And again, I'm not sold on that pass rush. If they can't get consistent pass rush, I think they might have some issues up front. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. And again, I don't like Alejandro Villanueva's fit with this offense at all. So I'm a little bit worried about what he can do and how he might limit that offense. So I'm a little bit worried there. And I do think it'll take a little bit of time for Lamar to build up rapport with kind of Watkins and Bateman and kind of all those guys. So I don't think they'll hit the ground running offensively in the passing game to where I can truly say 100%, you know, they're going to be screaming at the start of the year and maybe, you know, they're a team with under Lamar that gets hot at the end of the year. So I think that they're a team that'll build up over the course of the season and end up being pretty solid. But again, I think the Browns, they're my one. The Browns are my one, and I'm going out on a leap here because of what Baker Mayfield did at the end of last season. He was phenomenal from weeks 9 to that Chiefs loss in the playoffs. Baker Mayfield played very good, and that's what I'm going to bank on right now, is that the last tape we saw of Baker Mayfield was probably the best NFL tape we've seen of Baker Mayfield. So that's what we need to see of Baker. And again, as you alluded to, they added a lot of stuff on defense. I love their secondary with John Johnson and Troy Hill, but there's depth questions, and Greg Newsome, I really like him as well. And what's that free safety situation going to look like? How are they going to deal with injuries if they come up? Because Denzel Ward's missed a lot of time. Greedy Williams isn't healthy. You know, what are they going to do if injuries pop up? So that's a question. Are the linebackers going to be good enough? How does that interior line work? Does Jadeveon Clowney stay healthy, and does he play well when he's on the field? So, you know, a lot of question marks there still. But right now, they're a very well-rounded team on paper. Kevin Stefanski is a great coach. They've been to the playoffs now. They have that taste of victory. So, you know, the thing is, I'm very interested. And I didn't bring this up, and I kind of regret not bringing this up in their breakdown. You know, they fed off that underdog mentality last year. They're not the underdog anymore. Everyone is high on the Browns. So how do you handle being in the winner's seat? Because some of those teams that, you know, have that underdog mentality and come up, they then falter once they're in the driver's seat of kind of the win now mode. So how do they handle that? How do they handle winning? Because the underdog mentality is, again, I think that's one of the most powerful things in sports. We see it all the time, the underdog mentality coming up. How do they handle being winners? So I think that's another thing. But right now, I think they have on paper probably the best team in the North. And that, again, that's just on paper, because things on paper, they don't always work in theory. So, they might not, who knows, maybe Baker does take a step back. Maybe that defense collapses in on itself. And we're talking about a disappointing season for the Browns, which would be heartbreaking for the city of Cleveland. I mean, that would be, but right now I'll put them at one.
That'd be absolutely heartbreaking because they've literally been through hell. Now they finally have a glimpse of hope, and just to have that, that's literally, that's torture. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. So let's just hope the Browns are the team that really think they could be this upcoming season. We're done. Done for the AFC North offseason review. Nick, really appreciate you coming on here tonight after I screwed up yesterday. I was so caught up in some stuff yesterday. We were supposed to record yesterday, but I got caught up in some stuff here, and I completely forgot that I had to record with Nick last night, which made me feel like complete crap, and I'm so sorry. And I apologize to Nick like six times.
You're good. You're good, man. You're good. Don't worry about it.
Appreciate it. Nick's a real nice guy. Accepted my apology and got on to record tonight. Got some real good stuff in. So, Nick, before we get out of here, why don't you plug your stuff? And then we can, like I said, we can get out of here.
Yeah, so follow me at Farabaugh Football, FARABAUGHFB. Post all the Steelers stuff, whatever, live coverage of camp, whatever, breakdowns, film, anything, kind of like that. For Steelers stuff at Pittsburgh Sports Now. It's where all my articles are and all that. Draft and Steelers for PFN. So you can find all my stuff over there.
Yeah, real good stuff. Nick does some real good stuff up there covering the Pittsburgh Steelers. So if you're ever, it's not just if you're ever interested in covering the Steelers or following along with the Steelers. Nick just puts out some real, real good work. So you should invest in this stuff just for that. But if you're ever interested in following along with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Nick is a really, really good place to start. Like he just alluded to on Pro Football Now and Pittsburgh Sports Now. Pittsburgh Sports Now. I hope I didn't say that wrong. I literally looked up your stuff just now. my short-term memory is complete crap. Yep, Pittsburgh Sports Now. My short-term memory is complete crap. Yep. Pro Football Network and Pittsburgh Sports Now. That's where you can find Nick's work. Enzo Podcast will not be – actually, I don't know. I don't think we'll be recording this week. I think we'll be on break this week, back next week. I think we'll have Joe Rolls on to do some sort of – AFC offseason thing. I still have to work out the concrete details with Eric, but we'll see you guys next weekend on Sunday, I believe, or actually Tuesday. I think that was today. Tuesday. Next week on Tuesday, where we're going to have Joe on. That's the plan with Eric. We're going to do some things on there, so keep an eye out for that. Give this podcast a nice review on iTunes. Share the podcast wherever you can. Share it to your mom, your friends, your family, wherever you can share it. Me and Eric will really appreciate the shares and the extra engagement from people who just don't know that we're an actual podcast out there right now. So we really appreciate it. So with all that out the way, we will catch you guys, like I said, probably on Tuesday. Further notice on that, just keep an eye out on the End Zone Podcast Twitter account for that for more information. But until then, all you guys have a nice night, day, whichever time of the day you're listening to this. And peace out. Catch you guys soon.